Perfect Podcast. Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of going to the same party for 5 years, and in no way is that sad. Young Anchorman reference to kick this one off. And yeah, man, next week will actually be 5 years of me doing this thing, which is a thing, I think. I don't know, I've been trying to figure out ways to celebrate it, and you should know if you're on the social medias early next week what we're doing. Got a bit of a vibe planned, but just need to finalize some things. Would have liked to have announced it today, but yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I'm both amped and, like, I just don't fucking care either way. It's like, I don't know, like, lately I've been a little angsty, being a little out of step with the world, a little just, I don't know, man, not like, I mean, I've been having some good times, don't stress about that. Like, you know, vibes are mostly pretty good, but I have just, like, been like, oh, what's the fucking point, you know? Like, with, like, the whole 5 year thing, trying to, like, fucking organize it and trying to, like, just make this a thing, you know, like, hype it up a bit. I know it's stuff I'm meant to do. I know it's stuff that's important if I want to, like, make this into some sort of fucking job, I guess. And, you know, after 5 years, this not being my job, like, I don't know, there's lots of ways to interpret that, I guess. Like, either I'm really persistent and all of that, or I'm delusional, you know? Or maybe I just enjoy doing this. Maybe there's that. Or maybe it's some combination of all three. Because, yeah, man, I do enjoy fucking doing this. This right here, right now, just talking to you, I dig this. I dig when I get to chat to various different people at different stages of their career. And I've really fucking, you know, this project's, like, helped me grow so much as a human being, as a person, as, you know, a member of society. And I've gotten so much value out of it. And I hope you have too. I think there's so many valuable lessons, so much helpful advice, and just so much history that's been shared on this podcast over the last 5 years, and, like, with nearly 150 episodes. It's funny, I definitely thought we would have had a lot more episodes than that, but, you know, the process of all of this isn't necessarily that easy. Like, I know it seems like it might be, but the constant grind, you know, the constant, like, having to try get guests and, like, that can be its own mission. You'd think at this point that maybe, like, everyone would just be hyped and want to, like, be a part of it and just, like, reply to my messages after they say, yes, I'm keen. The number of times people have been like, yeah, I'm keen, let's do it. And I'm like, cool, how's 2 o'clock on Tuesday? And then they don't reply. And then I'm like, hey, like, what about next week? And then no reply. Then I just get ghosted. And I don't know what to do about that, but I also get that, like, people's brains are weird. Like, I know sometimes I get weird, like, with replying to people and doing certain things, so I try not to hold it against people, but it does, like, make this a little more frustrating. And it's also just, like, trying to pick, like, guests and stuff, you know. I've got a long fucking list of people who I want to chat to. It's just when and where and stuff like that, because I do prefer doing the podcast in person. I've really been enjoying that, especially this year. You would have noticed there's a lot more Durbanites on. A lot of them have been done in my studio at home instead of doing the online thing, because you can actually see the person and you can actually have, like, a back and forth. Whereas with the online things, is often, like, I try to edit it to make sure that you don't really notice, but the conversations are a little more disjointed, I think. And, you know, because there's delay, there's lag, there's talking over each other, there's all these different things that don't come up in the face-to-face ones. So I am trying to do more face-to-face conversations where I can. And so that's been why, like, this year has probably been a few less. And it's also, I've been focusing on trying to just make, like, you know, little fucking, not lyric videos, but quote videos, I guess, you know, videos with text on them for Instagram and for YouTube, to try and help, like, you know, grow the page a bit, try and get it out there, try and give people little bits of the podcast, a little teaser, and hopefully it'll get to more ears in the long run. I've heard that's a good strategy. So I've been working on shit like that and just been learning how to do different things. And yeah, this year I think is like a reset in its own way. Like, or it's just a reiteration, I guess. It's just trying to figure out what the path forward is with all of this. But I think I'm getting it. And especially with these episodes, I know I didn't do one last week, and I'll be honest with you, I was just too fucking hungover, man. Like, we did a gig on Thursday night and we got a bit too lit afterwards. And the next day I was just like, what the fuck am I going to talk about today? But I did have stuff on my mind, and I still do, from last week. And I guess we can chat about that. And then we can chat about some comedy stuff and everything else after that. But CM Punk, aka Phil Brooks, I feel like he's a man we could all learn a lot from, both good and bad. Because for those of you who don't know, CM Punk is a wrestler, or was a wrestler. He's been fired again. Now, for a long time, CM Punk has been one of my favorite wrestlers and someone who I looked up to. I liked the way he did things. I liked that he was a rabble rouser, fought against the system, and actually genuinely did actually make an impact in the culture of WWE and got them to change a lot of different things through speaking out about their doctors' practices and just the general, you know, fuckery of the WWE. And I mean, he got sued for that shit, and I think he won. Either way, he's someone who, like, I've dug his character, I've dug his work, and I've also dug his approach to things for the most part, especially in the WWE, where he basically made his name rallying against the system. Like, the WWE is actually really smart sometimes in the way they, like, create characters. Like, someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, was an anti-authority figure. Daniel Bryan was, like, an anti-authority figure and shit like that, you know. And then they actually, Vince McMahon, for all his fucking faults, because that dude is a fucking horrific human being. Like, if you really dig into it, you're, holy fuck, definitely a fucking sociopath. Like, I know I'm not a psychologist or whatever, but yeah, you know what I fucking mean when I say that. And you're just fucked up shit. But he was willing to take his licks on camera. You know, the whole Austin, Vince McMahon, fucking anti-hero, you know, just the working class hero fighting the boss. Same thing once again with Daniel Bryan and Triple H and the authority and all of that. And CM Punk when he was at the top of his reign, you know. It is part of the storyline. It is part of the vibe. And so that's the kind of the interesting thing, I guess, with the whole CM Punk thing, is that he is part of the system, or he was part of that system at least. And, you know, he was part of the reason why the WWE was making tons of money. But he just always felt like he didn't get his fucking due, you know, like he was never, when he held the title for like 400 odd days or whatever, I think it was something like that. He, you know, was never like the main event and shit like that. And like kind of felt like a paper champion, I guess, would be a good way to explain it. Even though, you know, this is all just made up anyway. And I don't know, I guess I didn't necessarily see like CM Punk's ego for what it was when I was younger. And with recent events, a lot of his old actions actually just come across more as selfish than like doing it for, you know, the good of the team or for everyone else, for the boys. Because there's a lot of stories about like CM Punk when he was in WWE trying to be like a locker room leader, and most people just being like, ah, whatever, bro. Like, shh, sit down. And that seems to have kind of repeated itself lately, but I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here. So he leaves the WWE like 7 or 8 years ago, I think. I can't remember exactly. And he's just like, he just bounces. He's just like, fuck this, I'm out. Because of some health things, like he had, I don't know, I can't remember the full story on that. But basically, he just felt like they were working him to the bone and they weren't really addressing his health concerns properly. And fair fucking enough to that, you know, like I'm all about, yeah, like especially in wrestling and that, and especially with the WWE, I think he had a lot of genuine grievances that needed to be changed. And thankfully now, yeah, people get to have holidays, they get to have time off, they get proper medical treatments and stuff. And that is fucking cool. And that is partially because of how CM Punk left and how he went on this podcast called The Art of Wrestling. But then when they get sued, him and the guy Colt Cabana, who ran The Art of Wrestling, like, it was his podcast, and it's actually a big inspiration for this podcast, to be honest with you. I've listened to that a lot, and it was like, even the introduction that I do here is kind of based off of his whole thing of, like, this is it's in the studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Like, he's got like a whole fucking thing that he says in the beginning that he says every week. And so, yeah, anyway, these two were best friends on the independents. They came up together, they fucking loved each other, and through all of this, somehow they don't fuck with each other anymore. Like, Punk's being a fucking douche about it publicly, and, you know, Colt's just been doing his own thing. He seems like a pretty nice guy, pretty chill dude, and he's just trying to live his life without, you know, CM Punk drama in it. But that's been kind of unavoidable, unfortunately, because after the podcast, yeah, it blew up and they got sued together. And like I say, I think they won that suit. But where was I going with all of this? Yeah, so CM Punk was out of wrestling for many, many years, and then this company AEW starts up, and after a year or two, they eventually managed to sign him. And it's a big fucking deal. I was stoked as fuck. I was like, hell yeah, man, CM Punk, this dude put, like, he's had some amazing fucking storylines. He's good on the mic. He's pretty decent in the ring. Like, he knows how to tell a story in the ring. He might not be, like, the slickest or the best, like, in terms of, like, actual movements and shit like that, but he knows how to structure a match to get you invested. He knows how to talk on the mic to get you invested. And yeah, man, it was big fucking deal. He came out, everyone loved it. Life was fucking good, man. Like, wrestling was back, baby. You know, it was a fucking glorious time. And his initial run was pretty great. Like, he had a lot of good matches. He, you know, like, really helped elevate some of the younger talent. And on the surface, everything seemed to be going quite well. But meanwhile, at the Hall for Super Best Friends, yeah, meanwhile, backstage, turns out, maybe things aren't so hunky fucking dory. Things started coming out. So basically, Colt Cabana was on the main roster for AEW and then kind of got demoted. Like, that is how it's seen in the general eyes of the public, and I think the wrestlers, to a company called ROH, which is owned by the same guy who owns AEW. And everyone thought this was because of CM Punk, you know, because him and Colt had beef. And CM Punk's a major star, big draw, he earns lots of money for the company, so, you know, he can kind of get his way a little bit. And so people thought that he asked Tony Khan to, you know, get fucking Colt Cabana out of his locker room, basically. And they both deny this, both Punk and Tony Khan. Tony Khan's like, he's the owner, by the way. He said, nah, my choice, my decision. I felt like this was the correct thing to do, for whatever reason. And then, on, like, so this is guy Hangman Adam Page, I schmark him, he's cool, and he's friends with Colt Cabana, and him and CM Punk are in a program together. They're, I think, fighting for the AEW championship that Hangman had at the time, I think, if I can remember correctly. Maybe I'm completely wrong about that, but either way, he cuts this promo on Punk that, like, in the ring with him, that they hadn't necessarily agreed to beforehand, where he's like, oh, you talk a lot about workers' rights, and then kind of mentions, like, you know, the backstage stuff. Like, he alludes to it. He doesn't necessarily say exactly what's happening. And this pisses Punk off. Like, he gets fucking, you know, being his bonnet about it. And, like, a month later, he lays down a challenge to Adam Page that isn't, like, scripted or anything like that. And then obviously Page doesn't come out, and he's like, oh, you know, the apology better be as big as the disrespect or whatever. And so now there's beef brewing at the back, you know, like, Ozark not digging each other. Head to fucking one of the pay-per-views. I can't remember the name of it right now. I think it might have been Full Gear, but maybe not. You know, CM Punk wins the championship. in the press conference afterwards, he just loses his fucking mind. He starts fucking ripping into the journalists, ripping into Colt Cabana, ripping into fucking Hangman, the Young Bucks, everyone. Just like fucking just destroying, you know, the talent and the company and everything. And Tony Khan's just sitting there like shocked out of his fucking mind. And after this, because he's like, if anyone's got a problem, come talk to me about it. And so the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, who helped found the company, go to him in his locker and confront him about it. And a fight breaks out. Fucking people are getting bitten. Chairs are being thrown. There's a dog being, you know, removed from the locker room and everything. It's a wild time. Fucking everyone involved gets suspended for months and months. And at the same time, Punk's injured. So he's stripped of the title. And yeah, life goes on. But 9 months later, CM Punk comes back and there's this whole new show called Collision, which he's kind of the face of, and the locker rooms are kind of split up, and yeah, like, they're trying to, you know, get along by just keeping everyone separate and just, you know, whoever's got beef with each other, let them not work together. But this turns into CM Punk kind of just throwing his weight around. Kind of just, you know, saying, oh, I don't want these people at my show, basically. Guys, like, there's one guy, Ryan Nemeth, who I dig. He's, like, he's not a big name at all, but, like, he's a fun guy. Seems like a decent dude. But apparently he's tweeted something, and Punk was just like, nah, fuck this. And so this happens with a bunch of people, and even... we'll get to the point now, I guess. There's this guy called Jack Perry. He's the son of Luke Perry, actually, the actor from Party of Five and from Riverdale. And yeah, so Jack wants to do a spot on Collision with real glass in a car. And Punk's like, nah, you're just trying to get injured so you don't have to work next week or this or that or some shit like that. And then eventually there's this pay-per-view 2 or 3 weeks ago now at Wembley Stadium, biggest fucking like wrestling event that's ever happened, ever. And Jack Perry is facing Hook for the FTW Championship in the pre-show, and they do a spot on a car that has real glass, and Jack Perry says to the camera, "Real grass, bitch, cry me a river," something like that. And yeah, as he goes back, there's CM Punk, because CM Punk's the first match of the actual pay-per-view, and they get into a scuffle. Like, they get, you know, physical with each other, and fucking, it's chaos. But we don't know this at home. Like, we don't know any of this is going on. Fucking, just the day, like a day or two later, this starts coming out. But at the time, no one knows. And CM Punk and Samoa Joe come out and they have a fucking great match as the opening match. And AEW goes on to have an amazing fucking pay-per-view. It's one of my favorites. It's fucking, yo, just amazing matches, dope atmosphere, just a sick fucking vibe. But the next day, shit starts coming out about this fight backstage. And turns out CM Punk is now fired because Tony Khan was there, and apparently some monitors fell on him. Apparently, like, Punk threatened him, I think, which is not smart usually. Don't, like, threaten your boss with physical violence. I think that might not work out for you. And it just turns out that, yeah, like, Punk's ego, his inability to just shut the fuck up and get on with the job that needs to be done. You know, it's one of those things. It's like pride comes before a fall, man. And clearly he's just way too fucking prideful. And I recognize some of myself in that. Like, I do get some of the motivations that I have might not entirely be like exactly altruistic or even healthy for my own ego and mental well-being. And, you know, that's a lot of stuff that I have been looking into and working on for a long time. But, you know, especially lately, there's a few things. Like, just trying to recognize where I'm being the fucking asshole, you know? Like, because I do, you know, come on the mics here sometimes and I moan and this and that. And I do recognize that, hey, maybe I might be in the wrong with some of this stuff. Maybe the way I see the world isn't the way the world is. And I feel like Punk's maybe not necessarily had too many moments like that. And thankfully for people like me, you get to see like someone really just fucking blow up and throw it all away. And you know, it's a warning, I guess. It's, to me at least, that's the way I see it. It's like, don't fucking be like that. Don't be so fucking up your own ass and like egocentric and controlling of everything and everyone else. And you know, maybe your vision of the world isn't the correct fucking vision, is all I'm trying to say. But yeah, that is, I guess, the ballad of CM Punk. That was something that I wanted to chat a little bit about last week, and I'm glad we had a bit more time to think about it. And yeah, that's, I know, a long ass fucking story, but there's so much more to it. There's so much more to it. And just hopefully, yeah, you can maybe see in yourself like how, you know, you might feel wronged when you're not actually wronged at all. Maybe you're the one wronging people, but because of like your fucking self-image and your mafia and your fucking narcissism, you don't see that. Maybe. I don't know. Something to consider. But yeah, other than that, we've been doing some fun comedy gigs lately. We had a roast battle last week, and I actually lost the first round to Tibbs, which was surprising to both of us, I think. I think I was just a bit too harsh. Like, I had some fucking dark and heavy fucking jokes, and the crowd weren't necessarily on board with it, and neither was the judge. So yeah, I bowed out in the first round. But yeah, Akhil Maharaj won against Vinny Joseph, and both of them are not quite right comedy, you know, people. They're part of the team, they're part of the roster. So I'm at least stoked with that. I mean, to be honest with you, half the people on the lineup were part of the Not Quite Right crew, I guess. But yeah, so we at least took that one down. And yeah, we had a lot of fun afterwards. Actually went to Florida Road because TRO were playing, the real ones. And Carbon was hosting that. And fuck, it was a dope, dope vibe. And then I landed up meeting up with my girlfriend at Relatives, which was pretty chilled, but still pretty sweet. I actually quite like it when it's a bit more chilled. So yeah, that was fucking dope. And then on Wednesday, we held the first Not Quite Right open mic, which is happening every Wednesday at Ace's Pizza. We had Robbie Collins hosting, and it was quite surprising because we pulled maybe 20 people, I think. I haven't actually looked at the numbers or anything yet. And that was a little disappointing, to be completely honest with you. Like, it wasn't... Like, I thought there would be a few more people for Robbie there. Like, the advertiser we did got, like, fuck tons of likes. Like, the page got, like, tons of follows and stuff because of the fact that we had Robbie Collins hosting. And, like, yeah, I was like, okay, we're gonna have a busy night. And it wasn't bad. Like, it was actually, like, a nice, decent crowd, and we had a good time. Although... fucking what a weird series of events. So we knew there was going to be load shedding because it's stage 6 and stuff, so I organized a generator from one of the other comedians who has a generator, which is dope, but he had to go visit someone at a hospital and this and that. And so we sent Tibbs and Vinny, I don't know why everyone fucking went in the car to go get this thing, but it was Tibbs, Vinny, and Carmony. And they go get the generator at 7 o'clock. Now, this is when the show is meant to start. We're meant to have load shedding at 8. So, we don't have time to test this fucking thing. But the show doesn't start because half the comedians are getting the generator. You know, so, we're waiting and we're chilling. And, like, the crowd's cool. You know, they're eating pizza. They're drinking. And then I get a message in the Not Quite Right group from Vinny saying, oh, no, they've been pulled over by the police. And he pranks us by saying they found weed on them. Turns out they did not. But there's me and Liam freaking out, just being like, fuck, what do we do now? And they eventually show up. And it turns out, yeah, they did get pulled over by the police, but they were able to get let go because they hadn't done anything wrong. And we get the generator and we start setting it up, and load shedding hits, and we try to start this thing. And it doesn't start. Everyone has their fucking hand at this thing, trying to get it to work, trying to do the different things. We look on YouTube, we fucking, you know, we do what we can to try to get this thing started. It does not start. So then we're like, cool, we'll wait for Cyril, because it's Cyril's thing. He's on the way. Like, he'll be able to start it. So ask the crowd, please wait a little while longer. Show's going to start soon. Just need the owner of the generator to come and, you know, get it started. He comes. He does not get it started. This thing's just not working. It's not working. No matter what we do, we cannot get this generator to start. It's now like 8:30. The show is meant to start at 7. The crowd's still there. They're still stoked. They're still amped. They're still, you know, having a good time. So we're like, fuck it. Let's do the show by candlelight. And we do. We do a fucking sick show. It was actually really rad. I had a great set. Like, because I have been working on some bits. I've got some new stuff for my next show. And yeah, that I'm just trying to work through. And like, so I spent the day basically like practicing like bits and tightening them up and working on like word order and stuff like that and just trying out different things. And so by the time I got to get on stage, it didn't really matter that there weren't lights, you know, the crowd could hear me and that's all I really needed. And it went really, really well. Like, I honestly, one of my favorite sets I've done in a while. And I've had, like, quite a few dope sets. But I've also been working through stuff. So it's, like, hits and misses, I would say. But this one had mostly hits. And where people didn't laugh, they went, ooh. So that's also just as enjoyable for me. So, yeah, I had a good time. Most of the comedians had pretty good sets. We had a good fucking time, a good night. And then landed up at O'Brien's with some of the comedians and we were chatting. And it was funny because, you know, some people started to moan a bit about not being booked by other promoters. And hey, man, I relate to that feeling. But Robbie laid it down straight. It was just like, just ask them for fucking slots. Like, you don't need to just wait for other people to hit you up and ask you to be on, you know, like, because we do get a little touched by that. And I think if you've been doing comedy for a while, you do expect to get the call. And sometimes you fucking don't. And it's like, well, why did those guys get the call? You know, and you start moaning and you start complaining. But yeah, you could also just pick up the phone. You could also just hit people up. And so that's what I actually did. Like, I was listening to this and I was like, yeah, like, you know what? Fuck that. Like, let's actually just try and, you know, get on other bills, show people that they should be booking you, and hopefully it all works out. So with that being said, you can catch me on Saturday night at Carbon Goldstone's Carbon and Friends and Onomo Hotel. I'm jumping on for 5 minutes there, and yeah, hopefully, like, Carbs is like, oh yeah, I should book Bob more. That's what I'm hoping for. But, you know, could also crash and burn and never get booked again. So fun times. But yeah, that's it. That's kind of my whole thing right now. For now, I am looking forward to next week. We'll see what I do for the 5th anniversary stuff. And I've got a plan. I don't know if it's gonna come together, but hopefully it does. And if it doesn't, so what? Doesn't really matter. It's cool, it's nice, it's a box checked. But in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of irrelevant. So that brings us to the end of the podcast, which means it's time for the shoutouts. Now, in case you don't know, at the end of every podcast, I give shoutouts to the titular titles tier over at patreon.com/almostperfect. Now, you can support the podcast by going there. You can also support it by buying merch over at almostperfect.co.z. There's a merch tab there. We've got sweaters, we've got t-shirts, we've got mugs, and we're gonna have a few more items there fairly soon. I think we'll see. I'll let you know as soon as I've got some of that stuff sorted. And I'm also working on some exclusive merch for the patrons, so go sign up to that for as little as $1 a month. But at the $10 tier, which is the top tier, it's a titular titles tier, you get to pick your title right here on this podcast and get shouted out at the end of every episode. So shout outs to Rousseau, the storage clerk of Subtle Heresies in the Lesser Overberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Karan Slemon, the almost perfect hedge fund manager. Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing. Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and queen, Swifty. And Stephen Olafia, the executive producer. Like I said, if you want to add your name to that, feel free to go to patreon.com/almostperfect. Of course, I want to give a big thank you to Damien Root for the bed music you hear underneath my voice and the banging intro you hear at the beginning of each and every episode. Lastly, shout outs to you for listening all the way through to the end, and I will catch you on the flip side.